This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great caller on the phone lines right now. We've got phone lines open for you as well. 406-294-0970, or there's a call button on the Montana Talks app. You can call us on as well. Looks like Kelly in Glasgow was listening. I'm glad he was listening this morning because, yeah, I was talking about, you know, how many nice athletic facilities could they have potentially built with Keystone XL pipeline money? Had John Tester not blocked the Keystone XL pipeline, had Joe Biden not shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. Kelly in Glasgow said this. He messaged us on the Montana Talks app. He says, "We had folks counting their chickens before they hatched, roads, et cetera." Meanwhile, he says, "Have you ever seen the sports facility in Baker, Montana? Amazing." That's oil money for you right there. That's right. And then, oh, yeah, what I hear they need a new swimming pool in Glasgow as well, Kelly. They've got some pretty nice swimming pools in Williston, North Dakota, don't they? Wonder how they paid for all of those. Surprise, surprise, surprise. All right, great to get those messages from you. Let's go to Jerry in Macomb County, I think. Is this Representative Schillinger?
Yeah, it sure is, Aaron. Good morning.
Morning.
Good to visit with you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, actually, I've been listening in ever since about a little after 6 o'clock and kind of in and out of cell service here, so I thought I'd wait till I was in a spot where I could visit. And just interestingly enough, you mentioned the facilities over in Baker, and I was going to say there's a beautiful football field there, and on the scoreboard it's dedicated to Schillinger Field there in Baker, which wasn't me, of course.
Oh, yeah. I forget. Was that a nephew? Don. Yeah, was it a nephew or a second cousin? Played for the Grizz, right?
Well, the second cousin. He actually, Shan was one that played for the Grizz.
That's right.
Was the next generation down, but the field is named after Don, who is the longtime football coach here in Baker that had a tremendous run there. So.
And that's right, yeah.
That was honored him. But, yeah, no reason. The reason I called in, Aaron, was you were talking about the homeless shelter there in Lewistown, the meeting they had, and I had been visiting with Senator Bartell over there and found out they were going to have that, so I drove over for it out of curiosity to see just what in the world was going on, and I was pretty amazed when we walked in. There were probably at least 200 people in the room at Yogo there, so there was a lot of interest, and much to my chagrin, I found out also while in visiting with Senator Bartell before the meeting that somehow Representative Hopkins out of Missoula, which not a Missoula Democrat either, a Missoula Republican, had slipped an amendment into House Bill 5 during the session that appropriated $5 million to warming centers and homeless type facilities that nonprofits could apply for. It's a grant-type process they have to apply for.
Interesting.
And
so that is what some organization in Lewistown is looking to take advantage of to create this shelter. Anyway, stand by, Jerry. We'll come back to you right after this quick break.
Here is your Montana news. The sheriff for Bighorn County has been killed in a head-on collision with a semi. Sheriff Darrell King died at the scene Sunday night at milepost 2 of Highway 212, southeast of Crow Agency. While the accident is being investigated, neither speed nor impairment are factors. Colorate reports from a post from Governor Gianforte, Sheriff King gave 17 years to law enforcement and also served in the Marine Corps. While condolences arrived from across the state, including the FBI and BIA, Bighorn County Commissioners promptly swore in Jeremy Middlestead as interim sheriff. Middlestead will serve in the position until a new sheriff is appointed by the commissioners. Now, that new sheriff will serve through 2024, during which time voters will elect a sheriff for the remainder of King's term. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see sunny breaks and some developing cloudiness today, where the chances for a few rain showers developing, especially in the Bozeman area, as we get into the afternoon hours. High temperatures otherwise will vary from the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. For tonight, we're looking at rain showers, and then the rain chances turn to snow overnight, with lows in the mid and upper 20s, with snow showers for Thursday, high staying around 30. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I want to go back to Jerry in Macon County here, great state representative in eastern Montana. So, Jerry, you were talking about how, yeah, apparently there was some bill that provided funding for these warming shelters in the state legislature. Is that what appears to be driving this discussion in Lewistown about building a warming shelter there? Have you found out who's backing this?
Well, that appears to be the impetus, all right, Aaron. And just to back up a second, House Bill 5 is a massive bill. It's like $500 million that is to provide funding for the maintenance of state-owned facilities like university buildings, Capitol Complex, et cetera. So this amendment by Hopkins should have never been in a bill like that anyway, because this is for the construction of not even state-owned facilities, let alone their maintenance. So I don't know how it got in there and stayed in there. And then one other quick part of that, when it got over to the Senate Finance and Claims, which is their version of the Appropriations Committee, Senator Glimm out of the Flathead proposed an amendment to strip that out. And unfortunately, four Republican senators sided with the Democrats to kill that amendment. It was Senator Bogner, Senator Mandeville, Senator Lang, and Senator Wellborn. And I haven't had a chance to visit with them to see what their reasoning was, but it stayed in there and unfortunately got signed by the governor as well. He could have line itemed that out of there, but it's the law. And so it creates this $5 million grant fund that can be applied for by individuals or nonprofits. And apparently in Lewistown, there's a group of local folks that already do some of this kind of work, and they've located an individual that wants to apparently get out of some property there that's not very lucrative, I'll just say at this point. And what this bill does is it enables a nonprofit to apply for this funding, get the funding to build it, and at the end of 5 years, it could potentially end up reverting back to the landowner. This facility has been built with state money.
Oh, interesting.
Now, the other thing that when I went to that meeting, I was in my mind, I was thinking, while a little warming shelter, I was expecting something like on Main Street, like a bus stop type of a deal, that people could step in and get warmed up and then go on their way. But the facility in Lewistown that is proposed is a 50-bed shelter.
Wow.
And, yeah, 50 beds.
In Lewistown.
In Lewistown, Montana.
Yeah.
And it would operate from 7 a.m. or from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So people could come in, they'd be served dinner, and then spend the night. I suppose, you know, they have facilities, showers and things like that. I don't know that. And then everyone has to be gone by 7 a.m. the next morning. Now, the mayor from Kalispell was good enough to travel over and was a great informational witness there. And he said in Kalispell, that facility is totally funded by donations. The local government doesn't put a nickel into it. The state doesn't put a nickel into it. And one of the big donors there is the GM Forte Foundation. But to go along with this House Bill 5 fiasco that seems to be happening is Representative Carlson out of Manhattan shared with me here a few days ago that the Health and Human Services, part of the governor's administration there, that department, is proposing to ask for a waiver from Medicaid so they can use Medicaid funds to fund these warming shelters and homeless shelters, not just in Lewistown, but around the state, and fund nonprofits. So I haven't had a chance to follow up on that yet, but we need
We'll have to follow up on that. And I'm actually going to be chatting with the governor later this morning about another topic, but I'll have to see what we can find out about this as well, see if this has been flagged at his level yet. If not, we'll get it on his radar for sure. Hey, I'll tell you what, Jerry.
Not know anything about it.
And
even Director Barrington may not know anything about it. Maybe at the staffing level yet, but...
Yeah. Well, this is great insight.
Montana don't want to be stuck with that.
No, and we don't want to be recruiting more of the out-of-state transient population to flood into the state of Montana. I mean, 50 beds, that would be a big homeless shelter in Bozeman, let alone in Lewistown. So, no, that's...
Well, when the proponents were asked, well, how many homeless people do we have here in Lewistown? And they really couldn't name any,
But they will if they build the facility. They'll be able to name a lot of people if they actually build the facility. Oh, all of a sudden we got all these homeless people. Well, if you build it, they will come. I'll tell you what. Hey, Representative Jerry Schillinger, I'll tell you what. If you can, you could either call back later this hour, or if you wanted to call back in the 8 o'clock hour, I'd love to continue this conversation, of course. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, that's when our friends from Kalispell and Great Falls are on the phone lines as well. But if you're able to, you give us a call back maybe like in about 1 hour, around 8:10, because I'd love to pick your brain a little bit more about this Lewistown homeless shelter, warming shelter, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call a spade, that's what they're doing. It's a transient recruitment facility is basically what it is, if you ask me. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. We've got a great guest who just popped into our studios. You know, hey, Thanksgiving tomorrow, but then, man, you know how it can go. You start pigging out on Thanksgiving, and it doesn't stop until the first week of January. Well, we're going to have some good tips for you. Hey, you know, back in October, we were doing our show live from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association annual meeting in Great Falls, and we only had like 60 seconds left to go in this show, and we get this great guy step up to the microphone, Jerry Lem. He is one of the Safety Award recipients who won a big award for helping out some folks here in Montana, and he had a great line. He said, if you see something, do something. And I thought, we got to get him back on the show. He'll be with us for Wednesday's Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
A Senate Democrat issued a stern warning to House Republicans to work to avoid student shutdown threats early next year and the just-enacted stopgap funding and farm bill extension. Senate Appropriations Chair Patty Murray reluctantly voted for the unprecedented House GOP stopgap with new shutdown deadlines of January 19th and February 2nd for different agencies. But she had a warning.
If we don't want to be right back here in a few weeks facing a 1-2 punch shutdown threat, we need all of us to get serious about one-year full spending bills.
Top line numbers in those budgets, though, are on the radar of House GOP hardliners who want to cut further, and did in the USDA annual spending bill and three others before torpedoing them over internal disagreements and opposition from Democrats. The farm bill, meantime, will have to compete for floor time and a packed calendar of election year primaries. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley weighed in.
It would be my goal to push to get it done, and I would hope every member of the Senate and House Ag Committee would get it done, because if it doesn't get done early in the year, it's not going to be done. Another extension has to occur if we don't get it done early next year.
That just enacted extension continues authorizations for most farm programs, though the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says livestock mandatory reporting again runs out on January 19th, which is the next shutdown deadline. I'm Lane Nordland.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I mentioned in the 6 o'clock hour, we got a great phone call from Nancy in Roundup at about 6:30 this morning, and she shared a nice Thanksgiving poem, and I should go back and listen to the podcast audio, because the last line of her poem, it was a really funny poem, but the last line was something about making sure that the Thanksgiving dinner doesn't stick to your thighs afterwards, and I said, well, we need to share that with Dr. Dale Williams, because he's got some good tips on how you can make sure that the Thanksgiving dinner doesn't stick to your thighs. Anyway, Dr. Dale Williams, Billings Last Diet, now in the house with us here. Good to see you, Doc.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well. You're like me, where so we're going somewhere else for Thanksgiving. We're going to have a great Thanksgiving with some friends, but we still want to cook our own turkey a day or two later because the leftovers are the best part of Thanksgiving, especially the leftover turkey.
I love turkey. I don't know why we just have turkey once or twice a year. I don't know why we don't cook one in the middle of the summer as well.
We've been doing that a little more often now where they have even just the smaller turkey breasts, you know, that you can cook for, you know, an hour and a half in the oven or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, so you still get that good Thanksgiving style turkey taste to a certain extent. So
very healthy protein, very lean, good healthy protein turkey is.
I was gonna say, if somebody was starting Billings Last Diet for the first time and looking to lose a lot of weight, a good baked turkey breast, you could have that for dinner, you know, several nights a week if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Before you got tired of it, if you ever got tired of it.
Very,
you know?
Very low calorie in a, with a turkey because it's real lean for the breast particularly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get into the thigh, you get into the dark meat. The reason it's more moist is because there's more fat in there, so you get a few more calories, but still relatively lean for a protein.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this as I was refilling my cup of coffee here. For the coffee drinkers out there, one really good tip, and this has just become a lifestyle for me now, I use a vanilla protein shake as my coffee creamer.
Yeah.
And to me, it actually tastes better than the sugary coffee creamers anyway. But that's just one tip that you can pick up, you know, where, hey, if you still want to have your cup of coffee while you're also trying to lose weight or trying to maintain or trying not to overdo it during the holiday season, and that's just one little tip. But I've learned so many great tips from you guys over the years.
Or even just to get a little more protein in your daily intake is to add it to your coffee. So with in phase one, a lot of coffee drinkers, and they're used to a creamier coffee. And so we have that pre-made vanilla drink, and it really, we have a lot of, like you, a lot of phase three dieters, a lot of maintenance dieters that still use the pre-made vanilla drink as a creamer for their coffee because they like it so much.
Yeah, it just works. It makes sense. And they last in the fridge. You can just leave them in the fridge. And anytime you do your coffee, you can pour it in there. And that's what will really get a lot of some of these so-called coffees are like 400, 500 calories.
Yeah.
And so if you're somebody who's only, you know, really in theory should only be doing 2,000 calories a day, you just burned a quarter of your entire day's calories just on a cup of coffee. I use air quotes.
A sugar and a fat bomb. That's what happens. It's a sugar bomb because of the sweetness, the fat bomb because of the creamer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but I was also thinking, you know, Thanksgiving, it's also getting towards the end of hunting season, of the normal hunting season. And so for a lot of people, it's the last chance to get out there and get another hunting trip in. And when I first did your program, what was it, five years ago? I was right in the thick of losing the weight in Billings Last Diet. And we went up to my father-in-law's place up in northwest Montana, went on a hunting trip, and it worked out great. I was really nervous that I was going to want to pig out on Thanksgiving, because you let people alter their meal plan just for Thanksgiving,
yes.
You know, even if they're in the middle of the program.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out great because, you know, I paired, you know, I had a little bit of pumpkin pie, but I had it with the protein, with the turkey, so that your body doesn't go crazy. That's another kind of holiday eating tip.
Yeah, we had a Eating for the Holidays class last Thursday. Great participation from our dieters, primarily phase one dieters. But we also had a handful of dieters that were phase three dieters that are just looking to survive the holidays without putting on the 8 pounds that typically is put on between Thanksgiving and New Year. But we had that Eating for the Holidays class, and we teach the principle of that you now know very well in maintenance that you need to pair protein with your carbs. So when you're going to have a carb or a sweet, like a piece of pie, you need to get some protein with it. So have your coffee with some creamer, that is a protein with your pie if you're having pie and coffee.
Yeah, because some people, they'll have the big Thanksgiving dinner, then they're stuffed, so they're like, okay, let's wait like
3 hours.
Yeah. So 3 hours later, then they want the pumpkin pie or the pecan pie or the whatever, and then they just have that. Well, your body now consumes all this sugar. Your body thinks it needs to store fat. Your body's going crazy. If you have some protein, have a little more turkey with that sugar, your body doesn't freak out. Your body thinks everything's okay.
So what happens is your insulin spikes. So when you have that, just that pie, all that simple carb comes in and it spikes your insulin levels. When you spike your insulin levels, it turns on fat storing mode. That's what insulin does. It says there's a lot of energy available. Let's store anything extra as fat. When you pair a protein with it, it tapers down that insulin response, and so that you don't go into that fat burning mode like you would.
Well, and also for those of you that are doing a last minute hunting trip or whatever, I'll tell you some hunting tips and tricks that I've learned through our coaches at Billings Last Diet as well. I'll talk about that here in 60 seconds right after this Fox News update. And then we'll hear from Dr. Dale Williams about when they're having their next seminar. So whether you want to sign up now or wait till January 1st, you can do so.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The start time for a short ceasefire in Gaza is expected to be announced today. It's been agreed to by the Israeli government.
50 hostages will then be released in stages by Hamas over the 4 days. Israel will free 150 Palestinian prisoners in return. Those released by both sides will be women and children.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. An Iowa woman, Kim Taylor, is convicted of 52 counts of voter fraud using fraudulent absentee ballots.
Federal prosecutors said she attempted to generate votes to help her husband, Jeremy Taylor, win the primary for Republican Congressman Steve King's former seat. Jeremy Taylor lost that primary, but prosecutors say Kim Taylor again broke the law in assisting her husband to seek re-election as a Woodbury County supervisor that fall, a race he did win.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. New unemployment claims fall 24,000 to 209,000. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, we've got new polling in the U.S. Senate race here in Montana. Surprising new polling in the U.S. Senate race here in Montana. I want to share with you. I heard some polling numbers in the presidential race at the top of the hour in the Fox News update, and I said, ooh, we've got some new polling here in Montana that I want to share with you. So we'll get to that here in a second. Plus, not only is the Army begging service members they kicked to the curb over the COVID shot to come back, but now the Air Force is doing the same, apparently. So lots to talk about. We've got the phone lines open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Dr. Dale Williams, the other cool thing about, you know, when I was going through the program, right now what I do is I just check in with my diet coach once a month, stay on track. If I need to do a little tune-up, I do a little tune-up. But usually it's you're up a little bit, you're down a little bit, you're hovering, you're maintaining. That's great. You get some tips. But when I went through the program some 5 years ago, it was right in the fall is when I started. And so Thanksgiving, hunting season. But it actually worked out really well because, you know, when you're going hunting, you know, you're driving around, you know, and then you pull over and then you're hiking for a while. Well, I just had the ideal protein chips in the pickup.
Your Ranch Dorados.
Yeah, my Ranch Dorados. So that's my snack. Yeah. Or maybe you have one of the protein bars in your pocket. Yeah. And so you got it in the little cargo pouch of your camouflage pants. And so while you're hiking around, you get a little hungry, just eat that protein bar and you're good to go. And so it actually was perfect for hunting season, if you ask me.
I remember when you came in, you said you were going hunting and you're going to take your, I was just real impressed, have been impressed with the way you applied the program. And what's very thrilling for us at Billings Last Diet is you've maintained by just being, checking in and following the maintenance program of our, program.
So I've kind of been encouraging folks, hey, look, if you're somebody out there who, you know, this has just been weighing on you, you're almost like depressed over how much weight you've put on and you don't know what to do. You've tried working out and it's just, then it just makes you hungrier and want to eat more. I've been saying, hey, look, here's what I would do. If you want to wait till January 1st to get started, you just know you're not going to be able to do it during the holidays, I would at least sign up for their next free seminar, learn about the program, get started, get ready to roll, and then wait till after the holidays. And then don't stress out during the holidays. Don't put one more thing on your plate during the holidays. And then, but at least you mentally, you know, okay, I'm good to go. I've went through the program, a seminar. I'm ready to roll come first week of January. Boom. And so they could sign up for your next seminar right now.
Make the decision now. You don't have to take action until January, but just make the decision now. Get that off your plate. There's one more thing you don't have to worry about during the holidays. You know what your plan is come January 1st. We have a lot of people. We already have people signed up for January to get started on the program that want to. Some are restarts or tune-ups, but a lot of news as well.
Yeah. All right, go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call here, 294-6751. You can do an early December seminar and then be ready to roll in January, or you can wait till January to do the seminar and get started as well. Dr. Dale Williams, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Great to see you.
You as well. Good to see you.
All right, quick break. Great time for you to call in if you got something you want to talk about, 294-0970. Wait, so you mean to tell me that there is a book that talks about school shootings and killing teachers, and it's on the school library bookshelves in Billings, Montana? Yeah, we heard about this book called Assassination Classroom, and apparently it's a book series, and the books are on the West High School library bookshelves and the senior high library shelves as well. Check out a parent's reaction and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com, or if you've got the Montana Talks app on your phone, you'll see it there.
This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is pretty funny. Our producer Travis is already hanging out with the family, getting a head start on Thanksgiving. Well-deserved day off for our producer Travis. But our friend Josh Rath is covering down our guest producer today on Montana Talks. Many of you have seen his great write-ups on our Montana Talks website from time to time. But anyway, we were joking about how Kim Kardashian is the on the cover of the GQ magazine 2023 Men of the Year issue. Kim Kardashian is the cover. Anyway, and so we were joking about that. I think we played a soundbite from Jimmy Fela on Laura Ingraham's program earlier in the 6 o'clock hour. So Josh, being the creative guy he is, he came up with an alternative cover. And so he's got me with the Blue Angels helmet on from my flight with the Navy's Blue Angels at the Yellowstone Air Show. He put that as the cover now for the GQ Men of the Year issue of the GQ magazine, and then included a shout out to Travis Lee, our producer, as well there. Anyway, I just shared it via Twitter. Go to x.com/AaronFlint. And thanks to Josh for covering down this morning. Into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. Mike in Big Timber, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Happy Thanksgiving, sir. Thanks for taking my call. You mentioned something, I think it was 2 days ago, that the Pentagon is going to get a whole bunch of money for their woke agenda. Did you just, some hundred and million and change, whatever it was, you mentioned that.
Yeah, $270 million towards their diversity, equity, inclusion agenda. That's how much the Biden Pentagon is looking to spend to push the woke political stuff. Yeah.
Now, I got this question, Aaron. They want people to come back to the military, yet they're going to spend that kind of money, a quarter of $1 billion?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
And I, who are these people? That's why I enjoyed the heck out of the general. Yeah, the general you had on a couple of days ago who wrote the book. A very fascinating interview you did with that man.
Oh, thanks.
And that's what we. That's the kind of leaders we need. We've got to clean the Pentagon. We've got to clean these military brass hats the heck out of there. I mean, it's amazing. And that's why I like the heck out of Tuberville when he was slowing down these promotions.
Yeah.
How about the promotions for folks in your pay grade and the enlisted men in their pay grade? There's so many four-star generals in the military. I think it was Mark Levin or somebody pointed out there's over 100 of them.
Yeah, there's more. I mean, the number of four-star generals and flag officers today compared to, like, World War II, for example, is just outrageous. No, so for background, Tommy Tuberville, the former Auburn football coach, senator from Alabama, he basically put a hold on these, senior general officer promotions that have to go through Congress to get approved. He put a hold on them because he said until they stop pushing this woke agenda and until they stop paying taxpayer funds for abortions in our military, he says I'm going to put a hold on these nominations. Now, the promotions could still get voted on by the full Senate and move forward but he just stopped it from taking place basically automatically. But you know, I've seen several stories which showed that the strongest supporters of that move by Senator Tuberville were the military veterans themselves who are disgusted at the politics that are now taking place at the Biden Pentagon. But yeah, you mentioned Major General Paul Vallalie. He's lived in Big Fork for a number of years, and he's got like decades of experience in special operations. He was the deputy commander of U.S. Army Pacific before he retired, 30 plus years in the military. And he basically said every single one of these generals and flag officers needs to be replaced, needs to be thrown out. I'll have to go pull the audio, but that's basically what he said the other day, right?
Exactly. And can you imagine these folks being in any kind of position of leadership during the Second World War? Good grief.
Oh, man.
it's just amazing. I think there was, what, six or seven four-star or flag officers during the Second World War. And then, of course, a couple of them got promoted to five. But there were very few of them. It's just amazing that they want to bring back this agenda and at the same breath inviting people to come back to the military or volunteer to to serve. It's they'll never get it done that way. I don't understand it, Aaron. I really don't. It's not the same military I was in, and I'm sure it's not the same military you were in.
Well, you know, first off, thanks for your service. And by the way, was that you who sent me that really cool Navy Blue Angels ball cap?
You got that. I'm sorry that little aircraft wasn't painted in navy blue, but yes, that was me.
Well, you could have painted it in army green. That would have been cool with me. But no, that was incredible. Hey, big thanks for sending that. That made my day. That was really cool. That Navy Blue Angels hat and a nice note that accompanied it. And in fact, I didn't even think about this. This Blue Angels GQ cover photo that I just shared on Twitter. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. How timely is that? That now the guy who just sent me this cool Blue Angels hat, and we were just talking about that. What'd you do in the military, if you don't mind sharing there, Mike?
I was a flight crew on Hueys and Jolly Green Giants.
Wow.
During the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah. God bless you.
I got survived, Aaron. I don't know how. Hey. God was with me.
Well, I know why I survived. It's because only the good die young, so I got a long time to go. That's why I survived.
Yeah,
man, we always seem to lose the best, unfortunately.
Absolutely. We lost more in training, Aaron. I can't tell you. The base I was stationed at was training for the Vietnam theater, and we lost a lot of people in training, believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, those Jolly Green, I mean, you did it. You were there. But I know General Dale Stovall. Why are there so many cool Stovalls? There's so many cool Stovalls in Montana, and none of them apparently are related. You know, you got the two Stovalls working for the Billings Police. You got Turk Stovall and the Stovall family ranchers out there, And then you've got General Dale Stovall. He was the deputy commander at JSOC back in, like, the 80s, back in the early days of JSOC. But he lives in Missoula, and I was at a Vietnam Veterans Commemoration Ceremony hosted by Ryan Zinke, and he spoke, and he was a Jolly Green rescue guy before he got in the Air Force. And I mean, those were basically if you went down behind enemy lines, it was the Jolly Green rescue guys who came in and saved your butt.
Right. Those were the beret wearers. That wasn't me. I was just part of what was called counterinsurgency. We just flew. So we flew missions looking for things and dropping leaflets on potential targets. Our outfit was based in Thailand. basically.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was. Aaron, you're going to have the governor on as a guest?
Yeah, it's a brief. Sometimes he'll join us for the full hour taking phone calls and more. We were going to do kind of a fun pre-Thanksgiving final days of hunting season interview with him today. And so we'll still cover some fun pre-Thanksgiving stuff. But, what Representative Jerry Schillinger had to say earlier was pretty interesting. So I definitely want to at least throw in a quick question about that, see what the governor might be tracking about these homeless shelters and potential state funding that might be pushing this.
Well, the thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if it's right to bring it up with the governor, we do have what is called the Castle Doctrine here in Montana. In other words, you have the right to protect your property as in case of a problem, someone coming into your home or on your property. But there are states that have what is called stand your ground, that even if you are away from your home or your property and you are confronted by someone who is going to do you, bodily harm or death, you have the right to protect yourself. And I was just wondering if that's a policy here in Montana. And if not, it should be.
Well, as I understand it, yes, that is a policy here in Montana. I'd have to go back because there was a big case in Helena, what, about 10 years ago, where the Castle Doctrine and Stand Your Ground was a big debate. And then it became a debate again in Missoula when there was somebody robbing homes there. So I know Gary Marbit with the Montana Shooting Sports Association would be the guy to talk to just to say, okay, what is the status? Where are we at when it comes to Stand Your Ground? As I understand it, no, definitely we do have that here in Montana. But again, it's, you've got to think of, in terms of rules of engagement. And, remember there was that, was it a German foreign exchange student, I think, in Missoula a few years ago who got caught? Basically, he was breaking into garages and stealing stuff. And then he got shot by one of the homeowners. And so I think they said, well, in that instance, was he posing a physical threat to you? So I think that's where the debate boiled down to, whereas, okay, well, he wasn't physically threatening you. He was just stealing from you, so was violent force justified there? That's what became the debate in Missoula, right, at least. Hey,
yeah, there was a big trial.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mike, man, what a great phone call! That nice surprise phone call this morning. Thanks for calling in.
You betcha. Bye bye now.
All
happy
right.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Fox News commentary.
Will China allow pandas to return to the United States? I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
With the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
On the heels of his trip to China, California Governor Gavin Newsom cleaned up the disgusting city of San Francisco ahead of the Chinese communist dictator's visit. It's easy to see Gavin is trying to butter up the communists, and it may be working, not to improve human rights conditions or better trade deals or get them to back off in the South China Sea, but maybe they will let us have some pandas back for our zoos. What a deal. During his visit to California, President Xi signaled that China's prized pandas may be allowed to return to the U.S. He didn't say when or how many, but the San Diego Zoo in California may be the first beneficiary of so-called panda diplomacy. Rewarding California and Governor Newsom? What a coincidence. I see through all of this, and while I love pandas, this is all a front. It's also really concerning to see how warm, welcoming, and submissive American leaders have been in dealing with communist China. Gavin Newsom is working hard to grease those wheels, and it's telling. It's almost as if he's trying to run for president. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Congress is getting a lump of coal in its Christmas stocking this year. It's the news that the interest payments on the national debt continue to move sharply upward. Those payments are on track to exceed $1 trillion this fiscal year, which would make them the third largest category of federal government spending, behind only Social Security and Medicare. That's right, interest payments will soon be more than all the money spent on national defense. For more than a decade, super low interest rates have helped the federal government borrow boatloads of money without drastically increasing the money needed to service the debt. Those times are over. Not only does new debt being issued have to pay more interest as market rates go up, but there's also an enormous amount of existing debt paying low rates that's expiring and is rolling over into newer, more expensive bonds. It's the message of the cost of runaway deficit spending that is finally coming home to roost. Unfortunately, with more than $33 trillion of debt on the books, it'll take a lot of time to turn it around. I'm Patrick Barkey.
brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business.
406-259-3426.
The Ramsey Show. Up to 50% of American families are paying their adult children's bills to an average of $1,482 a month. Wow. I've never seen it like this. 25% of millennials, their parents are paying their housing, house payment, their rent, or they're living in their basement. You pay your kids' bills. Psychologists call that enabling. As a matter of fact, enabling is quite the...
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we shared this story earlier in the week for some of you who are wondering, yeah, what was that story that Mike in Big Timber was talking about how now the Army is begging these soldiers to come back. Baby, come back. I think we actually first started talking about that last week. Baby, come back. They kicked these soldiers to the curb. They treated them like trash because they didn't want to be forced to take the emergency experimental COVID shot. And, you know, COVID wasn't really that big of a risk to them if you're young and healthy. I mean, yeah, there's always, you know, cases that don't follow the trend. But by and large, if you were young and healthy, COVID wasn't that big of a threat. But it had already been clear that there could be heart complications for the young and healthy if they were forced into taking the shot, right? And so anyway, the Biden administration said, nope, if they refuse to get it, you do whatever you can to discriminate against them. Do not approve exemptions. Do not approve medical exemptions. Do not approve religious exemptions. So they treated these soldiers like trash. Well, now Joe Biden's got us on the brink of World War III, and they're saying, baby, come back. I was wrong, you know, and you know how the song goes. I'm not going to break your radio by trying to sing it for you here. Now the Air Force is doing the same. Let's see. The DailyCaller.com has this headline here. The U.S. Air Force sent a letter telling an airman booted from the service for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine that the airman could seek a correction to his service records and re-enter the force. The letter mirrors similar ones recently mailed to 1,900 Army soldiers discharged for the same reason. So my assumption is that this will be taking place across the services if it hasn't already. Here's a story. Let's see. Is this Bill Malusian with the report? I think this is a Bill Malusian report.
We all remember during COVID, the U.S. Army got rid of thousands of soldiers who refused to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Well, now that they're struggling with recruiting, the Army wants those soldiers back. The Army sent a memo to roughly 2,000 soldiers they got rid of for not getting the jab, notifying them that they can request corrections of their discharge records and to contact a recruiter if they wish to return to service. Now, earlier this year, the DOD got rid of the mandate requiring service members to get that vaccine. The Army missed its recruiting goal by about 25% in 2022 and was about 10,000 recruits short for fiscal year 2023.
All right, Texas congressman and former White House doctor and former Iraq War veteran Ronnie Jackson. You guys remember Ronnie Jackson? Ronnie Jackson is the guy that John Tester lied about. The veteran that John Tester trashed and lied about with false claims about drunk driving at the White House, etc. That Ronnie Jackson, the veteran that John Tester trashed. But John Tester will fund a bunch of fake TV ads claiming to be pro-veteran. Listen to what Ronnie Jackson had to say on Hannity's program last night with Judge Jeanine.
We have the smallest active duty army since 1940. Why do you think that is, Ronnie Jackson?
Well, you know, Judge, the military's been in the midst of a crisis regarding recruitment and retention for a while now. It actually started the very first day that Joe Biden came to office, and it coincides with his efforts right off the bat to change the focus of the military from training to fight wars to pushing their racist and woke agenda. And you're talking about nothing but DEI and CRT and pronouns and things of that nature. That ran a bunch of people off. So we started with the issue then. And then the vaccine came in, and they started pushing the vaccine, started mandating the vaccine, in fact, and a lot of people people left. And, you know, these are highly trained people that they spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars training, like Navy SEALs and fighter pilots and things of that nature. And they just ran these people off because they wouldn't succumb to or submit to taking this vaccine. And, you know, Secretary Austin had no issue with it whatsoever. We tried our best to talk him into not doing this. We pushed the recruiting and retention issue over and over. He just would not hear it. We actually had to pass a law in last year's National Defense Authorization Act to make him get rid of the mandate, and which he begrudgingly did. And then we had also passed laws to keep these people from being discharged with other than honorable discharges, which affects their lives tremendously. They have trouble getting jobs and stuff. So we have had to fight him on every single level, and we're continuing to have to fight that fight. It's pathetic. But now they realize what they've done. We tried to warn them, and now they're scrambling trying to get these people back. And these people aren't going to come back.
And by the way, where was John Tester? Where was John Tester? He wasn't doing a damn thing to help these military service members. But look at all his phony TV ads claiming to be pro-veteran, claiming to be pro-military. The guy's a phony.